This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now is a root cellar, Sue. Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I just love visiting with you.
And the end of August, early September, this time of year, sometimes you can go out into the garden and feel a little overwhelmed.
Or a lot overwhelmed if you're as dumb as I was, thinking I can handle a garden twice the size. Oh my God, you guys. And in the beginning of the year, it was like there was bare ground in between the squash plants. And there's these sticks that look like tomato plants dying on the vine, and this south wind is blowing in it, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're not going to get anything out of the garden. It's just going to be a disaster.
It's always a real trial of patience.
Oh, I know, right? And why don't I put a few more plants in, cover that dirt up? Holy cow, it's like a Stephen King movie out there. Like when you wade through the squash and the pumpkin, searching for the cabbages that I know are down there somewhere, there's vines that are wrapping themselves around my ankles and they're climbing up trying to get to the sun. I'm like, let me out of here.
Is this like the little barbershop of horrors, like in your
house? Yes. I'm not kidding you.
If ever you disappear, check the high tunnel. Okay, JC.
I'm looking in there and I'm flabbergasted at how beautiful everything has come along. And we have been pickling and selling at the market and making salsa and doing all these things. And so I don't know if this is a very pleasant word to use, but when you have a glut of produce like we have right now, you have to look for some alternative things to do. You eat as much as you can fresh, of course, but then you want to kind of preserve some for the winter time. Mm-hmm. And I've been experimenting with some crazy recipes when I have excess produce. So I have two recipe books I would highly recommend for anybody who wants to do more gardening. Although I would like make a plan for next year, like only 98 tomato plants instead of 150, maybe something like that. But one of these books I mentioned before when we were talking about pies is called The Harvest Baker with Ken Heidrich, who is the dean of the Pie Academy. And that's a self-imposed title, I'm sure.
Title, though.
Oh, I do too. I think it's so awesome. And what
really
he had,
comes with a sash.
This and a little cap with a tassel on.
No.
So anyway, this book is just like so amazing because his recipes aren't just pies. You know, it starts out with fruit muffins, butternut squash muffins, corn off the cob sour cream cornbread. Now, doesn't that sound amazing?
That sounds great.
You know, like if you buy a dozen cobs and you eat six of them, you're like, what can I do that would be different? And his recipes are so simple. I found this great one for tomato jam.
What is tomato jam?
I had never heard of this before, but when I was at my Uncle Ed's house one time, he went into the refrigerator and he brought out this jar of black looking stuff. And I'm like, what is that? And his mother, my grandmother, used to cook tomatoes down until they were so super condensed, they were black. And then they spread that on toast and crackers. I personally didn't care for that. So this recipe isn't cooked down quite that much, this tomato jam recipe in the Harvest Baker. But then you can use it on pizzas. You could spread it on toast.
How would it be different from a tomato paste?
Well, I'm wondering if that isn't kind of the avenue they're headed for there, is a condensed tomato. But this has sugar in it and some spices, you know, and some lemon juice and vinegar and my favorite freshly grated ginger, which I love. So it is a little bit more sophisticated palate taste, you know. So while they did that, I'm sure, so they didn't have to throw anything away, they did the same thing with watermelon. And I just learned this after I threw the center of a watermelon away when I was pickling watermelon, was they didn't have access to sugar sometimes back in the day. So oh, what sure. they did was they cooked watermelon down and made it kind of like a gel sweetener that they could use in breads and things like that. Ah. And I thought, they never wasted anything back then.
Right?
But think of how much fun it would be to kind of bring some of these things back again to, you know, liven up your menu, especially if you have excess produce. Like you start out canning tomatoes, then you make some salsa, then you make some spaghetti sauce, and then you start with the ketchup. And maybe some spicy tomato juice.
You could have like a 12-course meal of tomatoes, it sounds like.
Ew. And then, of course, in the meantime, when you're out picking them, I have these cherry tomatoes, I swear, are 2 inches across.
Jeez.
They're fabulous. They're Fox cherry tomatoes, and they come from Prairie Road Organic Seed Company in Fullerton. And, you know, with those, you can actually cut them in half, lay them cut side up, drizzle them with olive oil, reduce them down.
Oven dried tomatoes.
Oh my gosh, they're divine. And then if you don't want to eat all of them just like that day, then you can put those in a freezer bag. We use a steel meal for all that kind of stuff to keep it keeps longer than putting it in a plain Ziploc.
Mm-hmm.
And you can save it, take it out, put them on pizza. You can put them in soup. I mean, the flavor is so intense because they've been dehydrated, sort of. Put a little salt and pepper on there. Fabulous, fabulous.
Mm. You sent a little sheet ahead of time for ways to use up garden produce, and I'm seeing the word vodka on here.
Woo! Yeah, you want to skip right back to the vodka. Sure, sure. Okay.
Are we talking an excess of potatoes is here?
Actually, you got to go buy your vodka.
Okay.
This is kind of cool because, you know, you can grow one chili pepper plant and you'll have an abundance of chili peppers. So this book is called The Batch or just Batch. And this is a fabulous book because it uses every single part of the plant in multiple ways, multiple processes, from cellaring to fermenting to canning to pressure canning to drying, all those kinds of things. But what they did was they made chili-infused vodka.
Ooh.
And he said he likes to make it like super strong, so he just crushed a bunch of those peppers into a mason jar, like as many as he could, filled it up with vodka, and then
you let it steep.
Well, right, but this is really hot, so you're gonna have to like maybe dilute it with more vodka or something or use it for cooking.
Oh yeah,
but
there
you can
are
make
a lot of good vodka red sauces out there. Speaking of pizza,
oh nice!
Yeah.
You can make a chili salt then too if you're not into the vodka thing. But you know, use vodka for making vanilla, and I do that around the house too. Make vanilla with vanilla beans and vodka. So vodka is a handy thing to have, and you should always keep it in your freezer. I've actually heard it makes pie crust better if you put in a couple tablespoons of vodka instead of water when you're making pie crust, cold vodka. So
are they putting it in the pie crust or in the pie baker?
I don't know.
One for you, one for me.
Really good. Yeah. But you know, a chili salt or any kind of dried herb salts, you know, you can use a coarse salt and you blend your herbs or blend your dried chili peppers.
Yeah.
And you can use ghost peppers if you're brave, and you can make your own flavored salts. I made lime and chili salt one of those little graters and grate that peel off the lime and use that with your salt.
You know, and if you're one of those people who does Christmas before December 23rd, thinking about Christmas, you could start making some of your handmade gifts right now with this fresh produce.
That's a fabulous idea. Yes, you could do a whole pepper set with a chili vodka and a jalapeno jam and a chili salt. Yeah, that'd be perfect. You can use your blender, your little Oscar, or your Ninja to you know, grind this stuff up quite easily. And it goes fast. You get little clean canning jars if you can find them. There seems to be a shortage of that stuff this year, but, you know, there's stuff out there. But in addition to, like, these funky recipes in here, the batch book, which has really become one of my go-to books when I have lots of stuff, you know, they go through salting and smoking vegetables and how to put things into your root cellar, dehydrating, fermenting. I found a fermented salsa recipe. I cannot wait to try it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I can't
that
wait.
That sounds fabulous.
Well, right. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, you're not going to poison yourself if you leave something set on your counter, like tomatoes and onions and that. Yeah.
Kind of the occasional explosion, but, you know.
Oh, that's right. You know all too well about fermented explosions.
I do. Sadly.
So this recipe recommends pouring a little bit of an olive oil seal over the top and then letting it ferment for a couple days. And then you stir that oil in there and it becomes part of the recipe. So, but I love fermented foods. Like I love when my pickles want to blow up out of the jar. It's sauerkraut. Like it's sauerkraut season coming up here. So as soon as I get my cabbage out of the garden, that's my next big project.
Well, my taste buds love the fermented food, but also so does my belly. Like it really, I feel so much better when I'm eating a lot of fermented or even pickled foods. Like I don't bloat as much. I have better energy.
And what you want to do always is eat something fermented with almost every one of your meals will help you digest just about any bad food that you're going to eat. You know, like if you can't tolerate eating bread products and you're not celiac, you could certainly give that a try. Sourdough bread is fermented, but you could eat it with fermented vegetables. I think my ancestors ate a lot of pickles to offset smoked meats that they ate. You know, that was one of their preservation methods, was smoking meats and making smoked sausages. And so that kind of balances out the bad, you know. So if you're kind of eating those fermented foods, like you said, that really helps with your gut bacteria and your digestion. And then, like me, can eat whatever you want.
Yep, works for me.
Works for me.
Spicy vegetables and ice cream is pretty much all I eat.
Well, right. And I'm wondering, did you ever have any like chili pepper ice cream that you can recall
I've had spicy, like a really spicy mango. So it was probably a pepper. It was probably mango pepper, something like that.
Because I love cinnamon ice cream. I make really good cinnamon ice cream.
Oh,
and I'm wondering if I should throw
a
little
peppery chocolate too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I
chili
love
pepper
chili peppers
chocolate
in my
ice cream.
Chocolate. Mm-hmm. Ooh. And if you don't like heat, of course, there's beet hummus. I found a recipe for that in one of these books. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool? Beets are such a beautiful color.
Oh, yeah.
They have lots of good things in there for you. And, you know, if you don't like garbanzo beans, which just happen to be one of my favorite things in the world, you can try a beet hummus if you have lots of extra beets in your garden. And that would make for a pretty Christmas dish, too, because you use canned beets. So we should probably stop talking about Christmas. Now my mind is going a whole different direction.
Another segment.
Another segment, right. Too many vegetables, too little time.
Well, we will check out these books. Again, it's called Batch, and the other one is called The Harvest Baker. Sue Balcom joins us once a week to talk about food, and you can find out more on her website, therootsellers.com, and that's seller with an S, like she's selling you something. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.